Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The USA, Egypt and Qatar have jointly called on Israel and Hamas to resume negotiations over a ceasefire and hostage release deal. Israel has pledged to send negotiators, but there has been no response yet from Hamas, whose chief negotiator Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated in Iran in an attack widely believed to have been conducted by Israel. On Wednesday, Hamas announced Haniyeh's replacement, Yahya Sinwar, the man who planned the October 7th attacks against Israel. For the latest on this, I'm joined by Middle East correspondent for Sky News, Alistair Bunkle. Alistair, good morning to you. Haniyeh favoured some kind of a ceasefire, certainly favoured remaining in negotiations. What are the early indications about how his successor views that process?
We don't know for two reasons. One, because up until now, Yahya Sinwar, who is the leader of Hamas, was the leader of Hamas in Gaza, is now the leader of Hamas in its totality. We understand that he had major disagreements with Ismail Haniyeh about the progression of ceasefire talks over recent months. Sinwar being the one who wanted to carry on fighting, felt that Hamas was having success and would eventually earn victory. And secondly, because it's very hard to get hold of him. He's underground somewhere. We assume he's underground, but he's certainly in hiding, probably deep underground somewhere in Gaza, and very conscious of any communications that he has with the outside world not being tracked by Israel. And so it can take sometimes a couple of hours to get contact with him, but we understand it can sometimes take days as well. So we don't have an indication of where Sinwar is, you know, in terms of his thinking, where he is right now and having subsequently been made the overall leader of Hamas.
Is there any suggestion, Alistair, that in assassinating the perhaps slightly more conciliatory Haniyeh, that Benjamin Netanyahu might have got the more hardline Hamas leader that he wants?
Yeah, certainly. I think possibly that was in Hamas's thinking when they appointed Sinwar as Haniyeh's successor. A sort of a message to Israel, if you like. Well, firstly, a message of sort of defiance and resistance. But secondly, you know, you killed the guy who was considered more pragmatic, the guy who was more open to a ceasefire deal. Now see how you like dealing with the man who masterminded the October 7th attacks and is far more extreme than his predecessor.
Does this mean then that the USA, Egypt and Qatar call, which was pretty stark and said that there was no excuse for delays or further procrastination, is going to now fall on deaf ears?
I don't know. And it is a question that obviously I and everyone here is trying to consider. My initial reaction upon seeing that statement was sort of, here we go again. You know, how many times have the talks seemingly, you know, progressed to get close to a deal only for something to scupper it? Having said that, this is a statement that has been released with the names of the US president, the Emir of Qatar, and the Egyptian president on it. You know, they have put their names to this statement, which means they have committed to it. It's not some briefing that has come out through senior officials. This is the three leaders of Egypt, Qatar, and the United States putting out this statement. And I think it is a statement of optimism, but also it is a message to both Hamas and Israel. No more excuses. There is a deal on the table. It's not perfect, but every deal, every ceasefire requires compromise, but it's a time to take it. There is another factor to it that I think is at play, and I think it is a part of a diplomatic effort to try and, well, at least stall, but perhaps prevent Iran, certainly, but also Hezbollah attacking Israel, something that we have been waiting for days now. But the message, obviously, to them through back channels will be, look, we might have a deal on the table. There might be progression on this. Don't do anything now that might wreck that.
I see today the European Union announcing that they are going to fund the Palestinian Authority to the tune of $43 million, basically so that it can meet payroll and meet pension payments. Might that be the kind of diplomacy that would unlock this logjam?
I don't think so. I don't think 43 million will go very far. Obviously, when we're talking about the finances of something like the PA, it's pretty opaque. It's hard to sort of know exactly what's going on. But from people I speak to, they've leveraged some of the money they had, and actually they owe money to the various banks. So they're going to need a lot more than 43 million. Yeah. I mean, he's not the only source of funding. There is other funding, but I think at the moment, when it comes to a ceasefire deal, a hostage release deal, we should probably be treating what's going on in the West Bank and the PA slightly separate to what's going on in Gaza. Look, going forward, and this sort of quote day after plan, which doesn't yet seem to exist for Gaza, I think we're going to have to get into a situation where that does involve the PA in some form, and that will need financial backing and backing in many other ways. But, you know, we're not yet at a ceasefire, let alone thinking about who governs Gaza going forward and how.
And in this internally complicated game of three-dimensional chess, what are the considerations surrounding Lebanon and Hezbollah now?
Well, Hezbollah are determined to avenge the death of their very senior commander. I mean, we are talking sort of, in some people's estimations, the number two in Hezbollah, Fuad Shukr, who was taken out last Tuesday by Israel. The question is when will they do it? How will they do it? And will it be in coordination with Iran, or will they do it separately? It's looking increasingly like, I only pause because, I mean, every time you make a judgment on what's going to happen here, the opposite seems to happen. It is looking increasingly likely, he says hesitantly, that Iran might not carry out the sort of full-scale attack that people feared. If they don't, you know, it could be that these hostage negotiations going on, these ceasefire negotiations, give them the off-ramp, the diplomatic off-ramp. Certainly, we know the Iranians do not want to get into a full-scale war with Israel, and so they're in an absolute bind. How do you respond but not trigger a war? Well, one way of doing it would be to use your proxies, so to use Hezbollah to take out a response sort of in your name, if you like. But as I say, if there is any merit, if there's any kind of hope that these ceasefire talks are going to make progression, then I think there will be really, you know, strong messages going to Hezbollah and to Iran. You know, just back off for now. And Hezbollah have always said, if there was a ceasefire in Gaza, there would be a ceasefire on Israel's northern border as well.
Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle Eastern correspondent, thank you very much. Coming up, the latest on the foiled terrorist attack on the Taylor Swift concert in Austria.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.